Controversial statement out of me, but you're not.
A penis walks into a bar and the bartender says, "Why the schlong face?"
What's up, everybody? Contested Layups, episode number
95. Nice.
Yep, got it. This is your boy Eddie, aka the Riddler, aka Johnson & Johnson, aka your mom's favorite Riddler.
Did you know that in 95, the top one song on the Billboard charts was No Doubt, Don't Speak?
Nice.
That's Garnick with his intro. Thank you, Garnick.
That's what's up.
V, how you doing, man?
We're good.
How's your week been?
Ready to get it in.
Speaking of the mic.
Ready to get it in.
There you go. Raul, how you
now
feeling,
ready?
Man?
What's going on, man? Feeling pretty good.
Yeah?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, how are your Celtics doing?
Raul, huh? Looks a little bit irritated.
you know. Celtics aren't, or whatever, my Celtics?
I messed up.
Shout out Randy Cohen. Told y'all to do it.
Last but not least, it's John, Don. What's up, man?
We're locked in.
All right, locked in podcast here. But we're not really, we're a Contested Layups podcast, so.
Nice. Yeah. Nice save, Ed.
Got you guys. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Instagram, Google Play, and Facebook.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube by searching Contested Layups episodes for full episodes and more.
And check out No Doubt in concert coming to a venue near you.
Yeah, and Celine Dion, too. She's coming this year.
Is she really to Chicago?
Yes.
Big time. 4 nights.
Wow. How many nights are you going?
At least one. Duh.
All 4 nights.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I'll probably go see Celine Dion.
Yeah, man. What's wrong with you?
She's a great artist. Dude, how many?
Don't act like you know.
No, I do. I do know.
Fucking sexy.
All right. So, the NBA playoffs.
Thanks.
Just trying to completely avoid it. The NBA playoffs, yep. Something really important happened since the last time we had an episode. Kevin Durant got hurt for the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, my goodness. What's going to happen now?
And he has been ruled out of Game 6 and 7 of the second-round series. Houston is down 3-2. Golden State defeated Houston in Game 5. Behind the backs of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson with big games.
Behind the backs?
On the backs, right? Behind the backs. What the hell? Curry had 25. Thompson had 27. Thompson had a bunch of threes in the first half.
That's strike two, Ed. Strike two.
What was his first strike?
Strike two.
Draymond Green almost had a triple-double. He had 8, 11, and 12.
You know what you did.
What was the first strike? I don't know what the first strike was. What was it?
The GOAT stuff, Ed. The GOAT stuff.
Oh, and I forgot a nickname for myself tonight. The GOAT of parking. I'm the best parker of all time.
No, you're not.
So. No, you're horrible.
My friends on this show have been...
You drive a Mazda Miata, Eddie.
My friends have been telling me how great of a parking wizard
no,
I am.
No, one has.
No, we haven't.
And we have not. And I've just been, you know...
Such a stupid gloating. Thing to be proud of, too. What's wrong with you?
It's all BS.
So, the...
I'm really good at waiting in lines.
Anyway, the Warriors...
Like, keep my distance from the people in front of me.
I open doors.
The Warriors find themselves up 3-2. Let's get into that, huh?
Like, at least, like, 8 inches.
Also, I'm probably the best at drying my balls.
All right, so... the Warriors.
Go on.
The Warriors... Got the win despite missing Kevin Durant.
Best transition ever.
That's what I do, man. I'm fantastic at it. The pressure is all on Houston.
Speaking of dry balls.
The pressure is all on Houston going into this game six for sure. Because they need this is their chance. They cried all year last year in the offseason that they didn't have Chris Paul. That's why they lost to the Warriors. Now the Warriors are without Durant for the next two games guaranteed. Houston has to win this. If they don't win now, they'll never win. I'm going to say that. I'm going to go on record and saying that. This is their opportunity. Even if Durant doesn't sign next year with the Warriors, Golden State will be in their heads forever.
Wrong.
Why?
Because
Chris Paul's getting older. He's making $40 million next year.
I get it.
And he's playing terrible in the series.
That's fine.
No, it's not. GM? He needs to play.
Who's their GM?
Daryl Morey. What's he going to do with Paul and Harden?
He'll find a way. Of all the people in the world, he will find a way. You know this. Why are you even asking questions?
He'll find a way for what? He's never
to shift Chris Paul out and maybe even take John Wall back. I don't know. He'll find a way. He'll tweak it and he'll make it work. I'm just saying, in a scenario where Kevin Durant leaves Golden State, there is a way for them to get back in the finals or beyond.
Okay, but right now, we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
This is by far their most important moment.
Absolutely.
This game six is their most important game.
For this iteration of the Rockets, this is by far their most important moment. I will absolutely agree with you there. I think they take full advantage of the current circumstances and win the next two.
B, what do you think?
They're ready, you know? They're prepared.
Do you think their mentality is ready to stop crying about the refs and get past Chris Paul being injured last year?
I kind of feel like this is the worst thing that could have happened for the Rockets.
Yep.
They were looking like the old Golden State. I kind of had this feeling like KD was doing his thing. KD was going off. And probably down the road for the finals, they're a better team with KD. But it had that old feeling back where, hey, all of a sudden, Steph gets 10 more shots and he starts warming up and Klay gets a couple warm up and everybody's passing the ball around with each other. And, man, it looked real smooth. I felt like they just dropped that iso ball. We're back here. And even if it is iso ball, it's Steph. Steph doing whatever he wants to do. Former MVP. Just working the offense. And I think it's a better thing that KD is actually... Man, it's hard to say that's a better thing that KD's gone. But I don't think it's a bad thing, at least for this series coming up.
Darn it, good.
I mean, the point I need to make here is that this isn't the second coming of the 15 Warriors, you know? This is a different team.
It is.
They're older. They've become reliant on KD a little too much, arguably. And you can't just turn it on this deep in the playoffs where you're playing a really zoned-in Houston team that just held serve at home.
Are they zoned in, though? They had an opportunity to win Game 5, and they didn't. Durant was out, and they didn't win.
That's fine. That was basically adrenaline carrying the Warriors this game.
I think it was D'Antoni.
Listen, my point is, aside from the first point I made, this isn't the 15 Thunder either you're talking about. I would argue that this version of Houston Rockets is a lot better than that version of the Thunder.
You mean the 16 Thunder, where Durant and Westbrook, right?
I think that was 15, bud.
Did they play the Warriors in the playoffs? Regardless. Okay. Raul, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. I think for the game that I watched, Golden State pretty much just maintained their level of play without Kevin Durant. They didn't really look all that much better to me from what I saw. I know Curry was getting more shots, but Thompson, other than maybe like a three or two, was kind of cold in the second half.
Yeah.
Also, that should have been a turnover on Golden State. And if that goes the other way, maybe the Rockets wind up pulling that one out. So I think they kind of have their work cut out for them. If they're expecting, they should not take Houston lightly, and Houston should definitely take advantage of Durant being out. I think Durant not being there hurts Golden State a lot more than people realize.
because I think Durant is a huge part of their team. I think he was their team for the past couple years. Charles Barkley the other night said that the Warriors weren't a dynasty before Kevin Durant came there. And I completely agree with him. I think nowadays they relied heavily on KD. And I don't know, judging from how Steph Curry has been in the playoffs and how Thompson has been, I don't know if they have it together yet. But I think they might have. We'll see if they could maybe pull it off in seven. Or, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they could win one game. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to call this without Durant. It's kind of hard. It's a lot harder now.
Go ahead, John.
To be honest, I don't even think that Houston's even more talented than Golden State without Durant. I think they're way more talented than Houston, in my opinion. And like V said, I think that's a blessing in disguise that he left. That he left the game with an injury. Because it forced them to play more more organized. And they deferred to KD too much, too. So,
okay. Go ahead, B.
The biggest weapon that the Warriors had in their old dynasties was their likability.
What old dynasty?
In their old 2 years before KD came. The 3 years, the Cleveland year, or what? No, it was 2 years.
Okay. They beat Cleveland.
So yeah. The first 2 years when they made the finals.
Right.
Okay, when Steph has the ball, everybody in the crowd watching the game on TV in your house gets excited. When he starts whipping it around, over the course of a game, that gets everybody on the team excited. When I see Steph start jacking, and I know there's games where he misses, and that's where KD really shined this year, is when Steph is off, KD's been really able to step in and carry the load. But the lights are on now. And KD's gone, at least for these two games. If Steph warms up, gets the crowd going, gets everybody on his side, he misses that. KD really kind of put a damper on Steph's like persona in the NBA. He was liked, him and Clay, we're kind of quiet, we're doing our thing. Now KD comes, everybody's talking about us, we're in every interview. We just don't need all that. We just want to go out there and hoop. And I think until maybe like a Giannis or, you know, when the finals comes where you really need that dude who's going to guard somebody freakishly athletic comes. Until that point, this is really going to help them out. And I hope that when KD eventually, if he does come back, I hope it doesn't stutter that. And the reason they were so good is that last year is that KD kind of blended in with them. It wasn't KD and the Golden State Warriors. It was the Golden State Warriors with KD. And now that those roles have kind of flipped this year.
I don't know about that. I think last year was the beginning of the KD and the Warriors situation. He dominated Houston, I thought.
In the playoffs.
And I thought he dominated Cleveland also. So, yeah, I mean, I think it was the beginning of that last year. And I agree with you that for what Steph Curry brings to the team, you know, all the other players kind of feed off of it probably better than KD, I think.
John, good.
No, I didn't have a thought. I was letting... Go ahead, Garnick.
Okay. Go ahead. Well, for one, I think it's a shame you guys think that he can just turn it on like that. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't.
Okay.
It's 4 years removed from, like, prime Steph Curry time. He's on the wrong side of 30. Like, he's had a pretty bad series so far. You can't just turn it on. The lights might be on, V, but...
The cannons out! Let's go! Yeah. I haven't been this excited in a while. I hated watching Golden State.
Who didn't?
I know, but now I get to watch the cannons!
Yeah, but you don't think that Curry can turn it on to win one game?
Or two games?
I think he can. I think he's capable, rather. But I wouldn't bet on it.
Really betting on Houston here.
You're betting on Houston with Paul playing the worst basketball he's ever seen him play.
That's fine. They just won two at home. How is it fine? Because they've adjusted to that. It's a known factor now.
They won two games at home. They play another one at Golden State. How are you going to win at Golden State with Chris Paul playing absolutely terrible?
Because he always has the capacity to turn it on. Sounds familiar?
I would trust Steph Curry turning it on more than Chris Paul.
That's fine. I don't disagree with that statement, but still he has the capacity to turn it on. In the meantime, you've shown that you can win with him playing as bad as he has. So you have nothing to lose. You have something to gain, and that's it.
To Garnick's point, it's not even about turning it on. I think Houston's actually going to hold court in Game 6.
Yeah, this is clearly going Game 7.
And in Game 7, no matter what, anything can happen. I know home court advantage and all that, and stats say what it is, but it is Game 7. It's who plays better that day.
Right.
So that's the best shot that the Rockets are going to have, and it could easily happen with, you know, even with Chris Paul playing shitty. If James Harden has an explosion or whatever the case may be, they play good team defense like they have been.
They've known for a long time that they would have to beat Golden State at home at some point.
Right, I know. So I have a question for you guys, though. Then this kind of relates to the entire league. With Durant hurt, and say the Warriors lose this series, or Durant is out, say he's out for the rest of the playoffs, hypothetically, does this injury give hope to the remaining teams in the playoffs? The Denver, Portland, whoever wins that series. That game's going on as we're recording this, by the way. And then the Raptors 76ers, that was a game tonight, and the Bucks obviously advanced. But do these other teams have hope now that Durant is out, that Durant might be out for significant time?
No shit. Of course they do, you know? I mean, the best player on the best team is out. Of course you're going to have slightly more hope. You always had a hope, but now you have a little more hope. I don't necessarily understand the premise of your question.
Well, will you see these, like, I don't know, it just gives does them it, like an extra
does it level kind of, the playing field?
I guess,
I think that's a better question.
Okay. Does it?
I don't think that's a very important question, actually.
Well, does level the playing field then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to an extent it does.
Yeah.
Again, they can't just turn it on.
Turn it on the lights!
I don't know if you're discounting championship experience too, though.
Yeah.
You're discounting if Golden State does lose to Houston, whoever gets them in the next round, they have no experience in the Western Conference
Finals. I still think the winner of this series will probably win, but I think the chances of the rest of the league combined is now more than 50 in that event.
Okay.
I don't doubt that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson can turn it on, whatever. What I doubt is their bench is significantly worse than how it ever was.
And that, I think, is the bigger point.
That's a fair point.
That this iteration of the Warriors is not the 2015-2016 Warriors, where especially they had a super deep bench.
Now, if you got back DeMarcus, though, if you could make it past this Rocket series and they said that DeMarcus might be coming back, now we're talking about a whole different thing. Maybe that's going to put those – that's going to level it out too, or not level it out, but
– give the Warriors the advantage.
Wait, DeMarcus close to returning?
Yeah, they said he's close to returning. They said he could return in the playoffs.
Or it could be a bluff.
It could be a bluff.
Or you could just call Leandro Barbosa and see what he's doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Baron Davis.
That's what they did with Bogut.
Barbosa's still in shape.
For sure. All right. There was a – Let's good talk. Good little talk about the Warriors Rockets. Let's talk about two other teams that might have a chance now in the playoffs because Durant's hurt. The game six tonight, one of the game sixes tonight was the Rockets. I mean, the Sixers and the Raptors. How was that transition? Was that all right? It was pretty bad.
It was terrible.
Pretty bad. Yeah. That's...
Keep going.
Whoa, next.
Keep going.
Addison Russell over here.
Oh.
Wow.
Ben's over. Nobody knows what he did.
Nice.
Cheated. Most likely.
You think so?
I think so.
You think Ben's over cheated?
Yeah.
A little baseball talk for you.
Yeah. I totally think he cheated.
I think he was running a money laundering scheme in his basement.
No way. That has to be with cheating.
All right.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, because you're not a Cubs fan. All right.
I'm not a Cubs fan either.
He's third strike, Garnick.
So the Sixers won by 11 points tonight against the Toronto Raptors, 112-101. This game was more of a double-digit lead for the Sixers for most of it. The Raptors did cut it a little bit in the second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter, but for the most part, the Sixers were up in this game, and it was a blowout. And there was another blowout the game before. The Raptors blew out the Sixers by like 30. The story of this series has been, and we alluded to this on this last episode, the play of one Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol. Lowry didn't have double figures tonight, 13 points, 6 assists, only one turnover. Shooting 5 of 11 from the field, it's okay. Marc Gasol was terrible. 7 points, 4, 3 rebounds, 3 of 8 from the field. The prior two games, both Lowry and Gasol were actually playing much better. It's almost, and Siakam came back and he had a pretty good game in game 5. Siakam did have 21 points tonight. Yep. Yeah, he is. Kawhi Leonard is Kawhi Leonard, 29 points tonight. He's been automatic all series. But the Raptors have been limited by Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry. When they've played well, they've won. When they've haven't, they've lost. And it helped with the Sixers with Joel Embiid tonight. He was fantastic. Also, Ben Simmons. Shout out to Ben Simmons finally showing up for a playoff game. 21 points tonight on 9 of 13 shooting. Yep, he was finally played. He hadn't done anything the entire series. So this is going to Game 7 on Sunday at 7 o'clock. Who you got? I said the series was going 7. I said the Sixers in 7. They looked real good tonight, but I don't know. We're going to find out if it's the same Raptors or if they've changed at all.
I got the Raptors in 5.
Yeah. I feel like Kawhi Leonard has a calming presence on this Raptors version. So it's fun. Like he got him from like an anxiety level where you're hyperventilating to like you're just twitchy now, you know? You're still not like calm, yeah. Not by any means, but you're getting there. Oh man, Kawhi's really good. Maybe maybe he can do it. Maybe we'll get there. Yeah, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe, but you're still twitchy. But
he's so good.
Now I'm really apprehensive about flip-flopping on this series twice, so I'm kind of stuck with Sixers in this situation.
Did you say Sixers last time?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I said Toronto in the first one, then I said Sixers. So okay. Flip-flop twice, even though that's what I did in college with my major.
Flip-flop to Shuns, John. Embiid was plus 40 tonight against the Raptors, plus minus of 40 where he was on the floor. He was...
He was doing 40. Good stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Even though he only had 17 points.
Eddie, please explain the concept of plus minus to
us. So plus minus, when the player is on the floor, it's the amount that their team outscores the other team.
The more you know.
Got you guys. So when Joel Embiid was on the floor tonight, he was plus 40. And get this, when Mike Scott was on the floor tonight, he was plus 29.
I hate Mike Scott.
Mike Scott was killing it.
He 4-5, 3-4 from 3-point line, 11 points.
He's so unclutched though.
He had a huge shot in the first round of playoffs against the Nets.
The two games I actually watched him play and like paid attention to him, he literally was the reason why the team lost.
He shoots so fast. He shoots so fast. Like he just chucks it out real
quick.
Yes,
I get it.
I don't know why. He's always like he's bigger than everybody. He's always open. I don't know. But John, what do you think about this series? What do you got? Who you got in this game 7 on Sunday?
I trust Kawhi. I'm going to go Raptors at 7. And I have... my family is lives in Toronto. Some of them. So, we the North, baby.
Yeah?
Do they know Drake?
No. They probably gave him egg rolls, though.
I thought everybody in Toronto, like, visits Drake once a day to pay honor.
Just kiss the ring.
No, it's not like that. Oh, yes, Drake. Oh, thanks for giving us rain. Oh.
Raul.
Man, I've been saying Toronto this whole time. I feel like I want to change
scared.
It.
You scared.
Man,
are
I don't
you,
know.
Are you agreeing with Eddie?
God.
Yes. Yes. Agree with him, please.
The thing is, though, is that, like, Embiid finally realized that, yo, like, just because I'm not scoring and I'm not shooting it well, like, I could still be effective.
Yeah, he did.
He was 3 for 12?
Yeah.
Like, one point?
Yeah, finished 5 for 14.
Well, yeah, like, in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, I remember him being only 3 of 12 or something like that, and yeah. He was making some free throws, but he was still missing shots. But right when that happened, and he was starting to go to the line more, he started realizing that, like, okay, well, I need to be a defensive presence. I need to have it's the growth. Offense go through me. You growth, know, like he literally just grew like in game late in the game.
You'd hope he did. Hope that this translates over to the next game. And if it does,
if he plays
and doesn't eat 4 boxes of Chick-fil-A or whatever the hell he's doing, go ahead, V.
It's not a, I
I'm,
don't s- think,
I'm still gonna go Toronto.
Still going Toronto?
Yeah.
It's not that little growth right there. He already knew that. He knew that if he wasn't being effective offensively, he needs to be effective other places on the court. That's been knowledge.
Yeah, but he didn't do that this whole whole series.
Where he didn't do it is not when he didn't do it. Where he didn't do it is away. Whenever the crowd away starts getting to him, he becomes this mental midget. And you guys have been riding Joel Embiid. And I've been disliking Joel Embiid so far. But throughout these playoffs, I've grown fond. I like Joel. I like how he plays. There's what's not to like about this guy, except the fact that when he goes away from home, he was saying it. They were booing me. They were in my head. He said it after game two. Yeah. It was after game two, and that's what he needs to show us. Can you do it away?
Yeah.
Because that's what Kobe said. Kobe's like, yo, my favorite feeling in the world is when I'm at an away court, and I hit that game winner, and then everybody goes silent. And then that's where Joel Embiid can hit you with the finger and hit you with the thigh. Sure. But right now, when they play at home, they're great. Philly, I love Philly, all this, Philly, blah, blah. But then they go away and he becomes a little hoe.
That's well said, though. For real, though.
Legit. That's legit.
Especially in the playoffs. It's kind of been weird. Last year against the Celtics, remember Aaron Baines dominated him in that.
Banging
him in that last play or whatever. But that's a good point.
And I love how there might be 3 game sevens in this series right now or in this level. In
the playoffs, yep.
Good playoffs.
Yep, it has been.
Playoffs. Oh, yeah, basketball.
The one series that wasn't a game seven.
I was just going to ask a question. How have you guys liked the playoffs without LeBron?
Awesome.
It's better.
Yeah.
So much better.
It's been pretty good.
The ratings are way down 9%.
Do you feel as though... Because...
But to be fair, I honestly think that this round was... Like, this round was the only one that I liked. The first round was all boring to me.
Yeah, the first round was terrible.
I barely even watched.
By the way, 6:16 left in the fourth quarter. Portland is up 101-90 on Denver.
Going game seven.
Let's go, baby.
I like the fact that LeBron's not in this year for one reason. You won't have a repeat of Cavs Warriors again.
Oh, my gosh. Thank goodness. Because
I couldn't do it the fifth time.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't. Yeah. Yeah, it would have been. Terrible, might be.
One other point, it is nice to have a break from LeBron because we get a LeBron throughout most of the year, so it's kind of nice to talk basketball without LeBron. And I feel as though next year when he comes back and if the Lakers are good, then I'll be even more enthused about talking about LeBron and what they're doing in LA instead of the awful pains we've had this year trying to figure out what's going on with the Lakers. And they might have that next year as well.
Yeah.
But it's nice to just not talk
about they're showcasing other players like Lillard and Giannis. Yeah,
Giannis, Lillard, Harden.
Yeah. And it shows that it's not just LeBron in that league.
Do not forget about Jokic, too. He's been
awesome. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Name all those players.
Oh, yeah, man. And one player we'll talk about him later. Let's go to the one series that won't be a Game 7 for sure. Bucks-Celtics. The Milwaukee Bucks, Garnick and I's Bucks.
Yeah, way to go, back on the bandwagon.
Yep. Nice job. That's what's up.
Flip flopper.
Yeah, that's me. You know my name. That's what they call me.
Remember everyone who listened to this show that I was completely right. Bucks 55 wins.
Eddie
Bucks,
flipped me.
Bucks
for sure.
Champions in 2019. Bucks over the Lakers. I mean, what could I say? I'm the best. Raul is shaking his head.
That does not include parking either. Okay.
Now, Eddie totally came to the showing. He saw that there was good bones, bought it, upgraded it, and then he flipped it.
Yep. Totally flipped it, man. The Bucks won against the Boston Celtics 116-91 in their game five. That was Wednesday night. And let's talk about the Bucks first because they're awesome. I mean, I'm not just saying that because I was right about him. Seriously, though.
We know.
When Mike Budenholzer made the adjustment of starting Nico Mirotic over Sterling Brown, changed the series. Nico Mirotic, V's boy. I know you hate him, V, but he was fantastic. He was fantastic the entire four games that they won. Milwaukee won by an average of 16 points in the games that they won the series. And yes, Giannis was fantastic. Chris Middleton was very good. Bledsoe was good at times, but I think the decision to start Mirotić, to give him more length, give him more shooting on the floor,
more size.
And then the bench was phenomenal for Milwaukee. Ersan was super underrated. George Hill had double figures in like the last three games, and Pat Connaughton out of all players, had double-figure rebounds in three of their 4 weeks.
Dude's a G. He's legit. Where did he come from?
Super legit. Out of Notre Dame, I think. That's not what I mean. Oh, just like...
Yeah. Yep. Where have you been all my life?
He's sneaking up on the league just like the Bucks are. So, let's talk about our favorite team on this on this podcast. Malcolm Brogdon also just returned from injury. Had 10 points in game 5. The president is back. Raul, would you like to start, or should we start with someone else? Raul's shaking his head.
No, I don't start with me.
Okay, all right. Who wants to start with the Bucks here?
I'll go.
Go ahead, V.
I'm not
going to
start with the Bucks.
What?
This series tells me a lot more about the Celtics than it does the Bucks.
What are you talking about?
The Bucks, first off, Celtics are in a shamble all year. They were having trouble running everything all year. And not only that, they were completely outcoached and outplayed this whole series. And that should say a lot about the Bucks, but the Bucks were doing that all year. And I trust in Chris Middleton. I'm a Chris Middleton fan. I know how the Bucks are. But this tells me how crappy the Celtics were. And when the Bucks come against either Kawhi or whoever it is in the next round, I'll admit it, I was wrong in this one. I had the Celtics winning. I'll take it. I'll take it across the chin. I ain't afraid to mix it up. Next series, Kawhi is going to eat it like...
Yeah, if the Raptors,
wait, like what?
If the Raptors get there.
Whoa.
I think Boston was a bad matchup for...
Milk was a bad choice.
No, I should reverse that. I think it was a bad matchup for Boston going up against Milwaukee. They're light in the butt, in my opinion. I think they were way too small, coupled with the fact that they had chemistry issues all year. That was a recipe for disaster. And Giannis was a beast. That was pure determination. That was nothing special.
What do you mean?
No, in terms of like skill, it's just pure athleticism, pure size. It was pure determination, pure effort.
The effort was special.
Yeah, that's what you think is special.
He didn't do like triple step backs. Yeah. Right? He just did what he did Giannis thing.
He's like, I'm going to the basket and no one's going to stop me.
Yeah, somewhat unspectacular, but effective.
Yeah.
He's the new Superman. Like Shaq crowned him.
God, you're going to get mad. Stop getting mad. We're giving him his credit.
No, you're saying the guy's bad.
You got your day. Hold on. You got your day.
No, I didn't.
You got your day to bask in the sun.
No, I didn't.
Because Milwaukee won 4-1 in a gentleman's sweep. Okay, we're giving it to you. You don't need to get offended. He has no skill.
I don't understand what you're talking about. The guy had 8 assists in the last in the
so
game.
Defensive. Okay, it's your day.
It should be. Thank you.
It is.
Thank you, John.
Okay, so don't get too defensive.
I just don't understand how Giannis just doesn't have any skill now. Apparently, I don't understand that. I don't understand what you're talking about.
You're getting defensive.
No, I'm not. I don't understand where your argument comes from because he doesn't hit him with triple step backs. Doesn't make any sense. Explain.
I don't know. I
go ahead.
I'm not in the wrong.
It's not that it wasn't spectacular. The fact that the guy can drop step and dunk off a drop step, like reverse dunk underneath on shooters on nothing, is spectacular in itself. But it's not as flashy as the handles, as flashy as a three. Even though he made some threes, as flashy as a crazy 3-point shooting and things like that. He's still the best. He was the best player in the series by far, and he killed everybody. But this comes also down to the demise of who I previously put in the Hall of Fame, Al Horford. Al Horford.
What did you just say? Put in the Hall of Fame as if you were changing your mind?
Al Horford is not going to make the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And I was pro Al Horford. The fact that you play so shitty in the playoffs every year and you can't come up in one heavy situation and shoot efficiently and beat Al Horford, even in Atlanta, even in Boston, wherever the hell you play, you fucking suck, Al Horford.
Converted another one.
Wow.
I'm flip-flopping.
You're a flip-flopper like Garnick, man.
See, what happened was...
It's contagious.
I went to the showing, right?
All right, I'm not going to get into that.
Go ahead, talk about your Bucks.
No, I mean, we talked about him enough, I think.
So he's getting defensive again.
I mean, there's not really that much to talk about, honestly.
There's one thing we need to talk about, and it's the fact that we've been dismissing them completely for the first two rounds.
Yeah,
I have.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They're legit.
Yeah,
they're good.
We can all agree that they're legit this year.
Yeah.
No, this team isn't good. They're great. This is a great team.
Whoa.
This is a team that can win the championship.
There's a huge difference between legit and great.
Hang on.
This is a team that can win the championship.
I still want to see them play a team, whichever team really, Philly or Toronto, before making the decision if they're really ready to win a championship. If they can dominate Philly or Toronto like that, yeah, then sure, absolutely. But to be honest, man, Detroit was an easy matchup. Boston wound up being an easy matchup.
Don't dismiss Boston.
And none of you, and none, you are guys. Yes, exactly. Both you guys said Boston was winning.
No, I understand.
And when it was 1-1,
Marcus Smart came back.
A lot of people picked Boston to win. The fact is, they didn't have it together. And the fact that they didn't have it together, they had no chemistry. They didn't know what was going on half the time. The players on Boston didn't even want to play. Like, they looked like they didn't even want to play with each other. They were just going through the motions throughout the whole time. And they got smashed. They got smashed because they were just
out-coached and outplayed.
Yeah, they just didn't have it. They didn't have it. They didn't have it together. Most people were giving the Celtics the benefit of the doubt that they would be able to get it together by now. Even after the first round of the playoffs, everybody was like, "Oh, Boston's got it together now."
Yeah.
The way that they handled the Pacers and the way that they were moving the ball, they got it. But they never really got it because they never really played anybody that good. Indiana wasn't that good of a team.
Yeah.
Detroit's not that good of a team.
Question.
Boston wound up not being that good of a team, and Giannis dominated, and that's all that happened.
I'm glad you guys noticed that because I tried to tell you last week, and no one wanted to listen to me, but that's okay. I understand. Go ahead, Garney.
Question. How deep does this team go next year with Ty Lue as their coach?
Who, is Boston?
Yes.
Brad Stevens is not getting fired. You're crazy.
Am I crazy, though?
No. There's no way.
Is it crazier than Kyrie not getting the max?
yes.
Yeah. Are you sure about that, bud?
Yeah. There's no way Ty Lue's Boston's coach.
But Eddie, man,
you heard it here first. heard it here first. Ty Lue to Boston.
First off, if Boston would have had it together, they would have smashed Milwaukee. I think all of their starters were garbage all series. The whole series, they're all garbage, shooting terrible percentages, taking terrible shots. They weren't moving the ball. They weren't playing with each other. They played together the first game. Guess what? They smashed Milwaukee. Like, it was easy. It was easy for them. And yeah, I get it. Al Horford's getting old and whatever. But, dude, if they would have had it together, it would have been a way better series. It definitely wouldn't have been over in five. And maybe Boston would have got the win like how most people predicted. But that didn't happen. They just didn't have it together, dude. They didn't have it together. Nobody was talking to each other. Kyrie didn't even want to play last game. It was whatever, dude.
Yeah, Terry Rozier confirmed it in a post, like an exit interview, that, you know, he wasn't the type to complain, but he didn't like his role coming off the bench. Like, well, you can tell it's there.
When you have people with that mentality on your team, dude, it's going to be really hard for you to win because you're not all in together.
You got to do this together.
So Brad Stevens is the coach you hire when you're building from nothing and you want to instill youth.
Okay.
You want to instill type of mentality, and you get him to a certain point, which is your plateau as a coach. And then that's when you need someone else to get in there. A Jim Boylan type, perhaps. Someone that will whip them into shape.
Make them do push-ups.
Get the most out of them, the most they have. I think it's time for this team to do that.
Yeah, after two consecutive Eastern Conference final appearances with Brad Stevens. And then
you regressed. This was your opening. And you turned out to be the weakest of the four contenders in the East.
You regressed when you had apparently two better players who were injured last year and came to the team this year, played the entire season, pretty much. Is that on the players? Or is that on the coach?
It's on the coach.
Why?
How do you not?
I think it's on both.
Yeah.
I think 100% it's on both.
Yeah, no. Of course it's on both, but it's mostly on the coach.
I think you're seeing a roster overhaul in Boston this upcoming offseason. I don't think you're seeing a coaching change.
I think you might
see coaching changes to the staff, but Brad Stevens is staying the head coach.
Do you want to put something on that?
I mean, I need odds from you.
We'll discuss.
We will discuss. I don't think that's any more outrageous than Kyrie not getting the max. That's ultimately my point in raising this issue.
Is that your point?
Perhaps.
Okay, well, we're going to... John, do you have a thought here?
I don't think it's on Brad Stevens. I think this is more on the players. And if you want to blame anybody, I would blame Danny Ainge. Because I think he's trying to like hold out for the absolute... Who cares?
Oh, my God.
We're not talking about
that. How could you be so heartless?
But I think Danny Ainge should shoulder the blame because he has all these pieces. You could do whatever. Literally, you can package them, but I think you're just being too picky, and you're causing a lot of this chemistry issues. So I would put some of it on Danny Ainge.
So you're thinking addition by subtraction.
Yeah. There's too many parts that think that they're better than the other.
Get it wrong.
I mean, ultimately, I think it's on the players. I think it's on the players. These guys are all young guys. Most of them rookies, third year, fourth year people. They haven't been in the league long enough to not roll with the plan to the fullest extent.
Last year and was 5 minutes away from going to the finals.
Yeah, but the Eastern Conference was significantly weaker last year.
I agree with you in that sense. I 100% agree with you, but at not one point did the Celtics show any sign of improvement this season. They were completely stagnant the entire year, and then you get to the playoffs and you expect them to turn on, and they don't.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And you're right. That is totally on the players, yeah. Which brings us to our interesting question of the night.
Okay, here's an interesting question.
Oh, my God.
So.
Definitely wasted that transition right there.
How you like that one? That was a good one, right? All right. So our interesting question tonight is Kyrie Irving worth a max contract this summer from either Boston or any other place, any other team? The max Kyrie Irving can sign in Boston is 5 years for $189. The max he can sign anywhere else is 4 years, $140. Is Kyrie Irving, after his playoff performance this season and his performance over the past two seasons in Boston, worth a max contract? Go ahead, Gunnar.
It's not worth a max contract at all. He is garbage. He has proven to be garbage this series. But he will get the max contract. No matter how you slice it, a team will pay him the max. So it's a matter of how you phrase the question. Is he worth it? No. Is he going to get it? Yes.
He probably will. Well, all right. Go ahead, Raul.
Will he get the max from Boston? No. Will he get the max from any other team? Yes.
He will. There is no chance he is coming back to Boston on a max. I agree 100% with you there. Go ahead, John.
Based on his performance this past series, I think he lost more money than he gained, to be honest. I don't think he's going to get the max anywhere. I don't think he's max worthy. He lost money. Lost money during this series.
Yep, in the playoffs, a player makes your contract in the playoffs, straight up. It always has been like that. It always should be like that, unless you obviously don't make the playoffs. But you're going to make max money. You should be in the playoffs at least, at the very least. Obviously, Devin Booker and players like Zach LaVine, they signed contracts this past summer and they never made the playoffs. But if you're a player like Kyrie, who has made the playoffs significantly over his career and hasn't underperformed, especially like this series, I don't know, man. Go ahead, V.
Chris Paul got four years, 160.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me Kyrie Irving's not going to get that?
No.
You're crazy. All of you crazy.
Why?
Not me. I'm with you.
All right, I get it. This year hasn't been it. Cool. So let's subtract all of these dudes from Boston. Let's put the ball in Kyrie's hands all the time Kyrie wants it. And he's going to come and produce all those numbers that he used to do for you. Maybe it's a little different than it was before. But hold on. This is the best point guard in the East, one of the best point guards in the East. And with what they're giving players out as far as contracts, you guys are saying, sure, fine, maybe he won't be worth it. But what's to say that he doesn't ball out or doesn't give one team a chance to make the playoffs? He instantly makes any team a playoff contender in the East.
Here's my problem with that, V. If he goes somewhere that isn't a playoff contender, he's going to be considered the leader, right? He has to be. He has to be the alpha. He proved himself on this Boston team he can't be. So he's going to go somewhere.
What?
Okay. Go ahead.
When he was in Cleveland, they had nobody before LeBron. Who did they have? Deion Waiters, Tristan Thompson. Cleveland was terrible before LeBron came. Obviously, Kyrie has improved since then, but his mentality hasn't. He can't lead a team. He might get you to a 9 seed, maybe an 8 seed in the East if he signs to a team that's a bottom feeder like New York and no one else comes there. I'm convinced of that because of what he showed this year in Boston. He divided the locker room completely. This is a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Yes, in the weaker East, but this was in the team in the Eastern Conference Finals, V, and they couldn't get by Milwaukee, and they had problems all season. John?
I will say this, though. I think it's unfair to judge him on this series and this season alone. I think that's unfair because everybody else played really bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Kyrie.
This was his team, though.
Yeah, I get that. But to say that he doesn't deserve the max money is kind of unfair based on just this season alone. I can't do that. Go ahead.
Even based on this season alone, he deserves max money.
Thank you.
Boston was a 50-win team. Bang. Fourth in the East. Still made it to the second round of the playoffs with complete garbage. Complete garbage the whole year. Jason Tatum was garbage the whole year. Al Horford was mediocre. Jalen Brown had trouble. Yo, what are we doing with Jalen Brown? Nobody knew what was going on with Jalen Brown. Terry Rozier barely even played. Crying. Marcus Smart, like, come on, dude. All these guys were terrible. Kyrie was the best player on the Celtics the whole season.
Thank you.
And he was one of the only bright lights in the season. Not Gordon Hayward, who also has a max deal for no reason, who doesn't have a championship.
That's true.
I agree with you in that regard, but Gordon Hayward had a great playoffs the year before he signed the max deal. He did 24-6 with Utah, 100%. He deserved that max deal. Go ahead, Garnick.
My point, I just want to say that I'm going to predict what Eddie's about to say. I think Eddie's going to say that last year, without him, they played much better. So if you look at the lowest common denominator, that means indirectly that Kyrie is the reason they were all doing so bad. Am I right?
To an extent, yes, but not necessarily. Go ahead, V.
You did say that look what they did last year, and then Kyrie comes back, and look how they performed. And it's Kyrie's team after last year when Kyrie came back, it's Kyrie's team now. But all these guys that are in the locker room are thinking to each other, hey, we did all this without Kyrie, and man, we're not even doing that good without Kyrie. So how's it Kyrie's team when he can't speak to any of these dudes on an even term because, yo, I should be balling, not Kyrie.
Yep.
Does that come to Kyrie, though? That's Kyrie's fault.
That's coaching.
No, it's not.
That's coach.
Where was Kyrie at game 7 last year against the Cavs?
Did you hear what Kyrie was saying after the interviews? Hey, I'm here trying to talk to these guys after every play. Everything Kyrie said in the playoffs was positive towards his teammates, trying to get them on the same page.
Was it, though?
Yes, it was. There was one post-game interview after one of the games where he wasn't having, where he was being normal Kyrie that in the press is kind of rough. But after game three when they lost, he was like, hey, I'm trying to talk to these guys. I'm trying to get them in. We're trying to do this. And they're not listening.
He said he shot 22 shots. He said he should have shot 30. How is that being a good teammate? How is he going to be a teammate?
Yo, tell Kobe to shoot 55 if I get this W.
How is that being a good teammate, though?
What do you mean? I care about the W.
And you're losing by 20.
Yeah, I'm sorry, these other guys suck.
No, that is not how a teammate works, man. Are you serious?
Yo, if I could play better, I would. But I'm doing everything I can with my limited height and limited stature.
Yeah, man. It's true. I mean, they surrounded Kyrie every time he goes to the basket. 3-4 defenders with length. Like, what is he going to do? He can't pass through that, and he can't shoot through that.
Also, let me bring in the fact that, yeah, I am drawing three guys, and when I kick it out to you, you jag.
Yeah.
Kyrie is in the same situation that Chris Paul was in 2017, where he has an option year where he can opt in and then force his team to sign and trade him and get the max. He's going to get the max.
The 5-189?
Whatever he's eligible for, he's going to get it by doing exactly that. This whole thing is a moot point. Thanks.
Also,
Good.
Also, Ed put this up as a web poll on WebGM. WebGM,
Real GM.
Real GM. And they said 57%
WebMD.
57% of the people said that he wasn't going to get the max. So all of you are wrong and you're stupid.
Yes. I think he's absolutely going to get the max, and I think he deserves the max. He's still a top 10 player in the league. Like, yo, you pay your top players in the league, regardless of how it worked out on Boston for one series, that against a team that was clearly way better than you.
I can't even talk to Terry Rozier.
Yeah, dude, exactly. These guys aren't trying to talk to each other. They're not even trying to build chemistry. All that's going on in that locker room is, oh man, I should have got more shots today. Oh man, I should have the minutes. Like, dude, like, let's just try to win. Let's just try to win these games. We got to try to make it work, but nobody wants to try to make it work. And they'll say that they will, but they're not in it. They're not putting everything they have into it. So every time maybe setting a screen, it's a lazy screen. Or every time you're trying to cut or dive to the basket or whatever, it's just like whatever. Because you're just thinking, man, that should be me doing everything right now. Why is Kyrie having the ball so much?
This is Kyrie's most successful year in the NBA without LeBron by his side, where he wasn't injured.
Yep.
Despite that, he'll get the max. Thanks.
He's absolutely going to get the max. I don't know what Eddie's thinking.
Eddie, everyone knows how bad he could be without LeBron.
My question was, is he worth the max?
No, he's not worth the max. But
there we go.
That's not what we were arguing about this whole time.
Yes, it was.
No, we were arguing about will he get the max.
Your question was not, is he worth the max? Because it was if he worth the max, then all of us would be like, nah. Like, we wouldn't be disagreeing with you so much. It was, he's not going to get the max. You didn't say, is he worth the max? You said, he's not going to get the max after this year because he...
By the way, this is 3 days of chatting nonstop about this issue.
my last point on this for myself is... When you see a team that wants to work with their superstar, a situation where there was no star or a new star comes into the frame. Toronto, everybody saw Kawhi, and they knew Kawhi was going to get the bulk of the shots. And Kawhi this year had his fingerprints all over every game, touched every game in every way he could. And that's the same thing Kyrie tried to do. But everybody on Toronto bought in. Everybody on Toronto, like, hey, we're replacing DeMar DeRozan. We know we have an organization. We know how this works. We know how this is going to flow. So that's going to happen. But last year, the Celtics were another group of individuals, and it flowed last year because their chemistry was so good. But now you add 2-3 new pieces, and all of a sudden that gets jammed up, and there's no chemistry, and it's not working.
Yeah.
There's too many queens on the chessboard.
This guy thinks Kyrie is not good. What? Even if he's top 20 in the NBA, you still pay him. Even if he's top 30 in the NBA, you probably pay him the max.
Go ahead, John.
I think the most important thing they should do in the summer is see who they want to keep and build around and complement those players and, get a trade or something, go for Davis. So another superstar to help out Kyrie because he's pretty much the only one in there.
Ironically, the Celtics couldn't have traded for Anthony Davis this season for one reason only. It's because they already had Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
The only situation where they could have made a trade work is by trading Kyrie for Anthony Davis.
But they didn't.
Do you blame them for doing that?
Yeah, they should have. Well, no. God. I hate the way that Davis... went about with New Orleans. Oh, yeah. I hated it.
It's hard to say because Davis was absolutely
prima donna and
refusing to, like, yeah, I don't want to sign with Boston. So, like, if you trade him away for Davis, then you're actually leveraging a lot by doing that.
Yeah, if you trade him straight up.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I hear you, but at the end of the day, that's what's going to happen. You're going to lose him for nothing, basically, unless you do the sign-and-trade thing. Then you'll probably get some... scrubs, basically.
It all goes back to who they want to keep and who they want to trade away.
Yeah, and Boston's going to have to destroy this whole thing before it gets any better, I think.
I don't think you have to destroy the whole thing.
But you have to move something. Something's leaving.
Rozier's
leaving. Marcus Morris is leaving. Kyrie won't be on the team next year regardless. So, all right, that ends our interesting question. We did not get to the Nuggets and Trailblazers, but the Nuggets lost to the Blazers 119 to 108 tonight.
Let's go, game seven.
We have a game seven on Sunday. We didn't watch the game, so we're not going to give a synopsis of it, unfortunately. Sorry, guys.
I can tell you what's going to happen, though.
What's going to happen? Game seven, predictions, Nuggets, Blazers. Go ahead. In Denver.
Damian Lillard.
Had
94 points. Also, somebody's going to have a heart attack while they're watching it, and he's going to run, grab the defibrillator, hit him with that real quick, bring him back, and then hit the game-winning jumper.
Rodney Hood had 25 points tonight, by the way.
Oh, the boy. Wait, oh, one thing on Rodney Hood.
Well, the boy.
The bullshit.
Hold the boy.
The boy. Rodney Hood. LeBron said you couldn't ball. Shout out Rodney Hood. I was watching you stroke those jumpers. I love you. And I'm going to let you know that personally. Thank you for showing that LeBron is not always right.
Yeah, Dame. That's all I have to say.
Dame in game seven.
Game seven for sure.
Okay.
He just did it at home. But Denver, just think about how game seven, the last game seven they were in ended. Barely hanging on by a thread. All
right, yeah. You're right. Barely. You're right there.
Blazers are better than the Spurs, clearly. Whoa. So. You like how I was looking in your eyes as I said it?
Pretty upset.
But it's true. So, whoa. Yeah, based on that, Blazers will definitely smash.
Denver's going to win the game.
Oh!
Denver's going to win the game. Jokic and Jamal and supporting cast are too good at home.
Yep.
Especially Jamal and Jokic, two-man game, way too strong at home. And yeah, I think it's not going to be that great of a game.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? No, why not? I think it'd be a pretty good game.
I just have a feeling that it's gonna be.
Whoa, there, will I am.
I just have a feeling that Lillard is gonna be off, or CJ is gonna be off, or something like that. It's not gonna be
delicious over here.
What everybody wanted it to be, yeah. And I think the Nuggets are just gonna take advantage, and they're gonna dominate, and they're probably gonna win pretty comfortably.
McCollum had 30. Lillard had 32 tonight.
Did you know that McCollum is actually the nephew of Todd McCullough?
Shut up. I got Denver in seven. Even though Denver had all five of its starting starters in double figures tonight, and they lost, I still got Denver in game seven here. It's at home. Raul alluded to it. They're way too good at home, and they have been all season. Go ahead, John.
Now is not the time to bitch out.
John's a tiebreaker here.
It's going to be Portland.
No!
That's Portland. My boy.
Dame, I think he wants to do it on the road. I think he wants to do the same thing on the road.
He's ready.
I think he's ready, yes.
This puts him in the Hall of Fame.
If they win this game seven?
Oh, man.
Think about it. It kind
of
does.
Dame's already in the Hall of Fame, I think. All right, let's go to final thoughts. Is that your final thought? Is Dame in the Hall of Fame?
No, the sound I just made was my final thought.
All right, I'll go first.
Go ahead, man.
I'll be on vacay this coming
month.
I get it.
Tuesday.
I'll be on vacay.
I'll be out, but I'm pretty sure the guys will hold it down.
All right, John, where are you going? Let everyone know.
Korea.
He's going to Korea.
Walker and I are going to start the Contested Lips Korea.
Nice. The Korean tour.
The Korean division.
Yeah, it's the Korean division.
And then I'm going to go to the Philippines, visit my family and my plus one.
Ooh, go get it. Go get it, plus one, let's go.
Oh boy!
That's my final thought.
My final thought: the Lakers are hilarious. Can't sign Ty Lue. LeBron's going to talking to Kawhi at Raptors game, trying to recruit him right now. I think it's really funny. Lakers are being ridiculous as always. Go ahead. Who's next?
Mine's also about the Lakers. Actually, LeBron and Lonzo were on the show called The Shop.
Yep, LeBron's show or Maverick Carter's show.
And. They were asked about how they felt about Magic when he resigned.
Yep.
And LeBron said it was just weird for him to just be like, I'm out of here, and not even have no like, hey, Bron, kiss my ass, I'm gone. And then Lonzo said, I was like, damn, this shit crazy. Then I took a minute and I was like, yo, Kuz, what we doing tonight?
The mentality of the Lakers is strange.
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to ask you guys, how do you feel about Lonzo just being... Do you think Lonzo should have been like more upset or anything? Or do you think both of them should have just like, it is what it is?
Good.
It reminds me of the time when the Lakers were really bad in Kobe's final years, and they hit a game winner and they went crazy over beating like a scrub team, and Kobe was just like shaking his head. That's what this reminds me of, like complete disregard for what's going on around them.
Yep.
You know, that's just a little weird to me. You probably should have had a more polished answer to such a question, considering you probably have a say in what questions are asked of you.
Yeah.
You know, you have a perfectly good forum to establish your credibility, and you messed that up if you're Lonzo.
Yep, for sure. That'd be.
I don't think that affects Lonzo at all. Here's the thing. LeBron or Magic came in and was with him for a short amount of time. Kyle Kuzma or Lonzo Ball, I'm getting confused now. There's so many of them. Lonzo Ball didn't have time to develop that relationship with Magic. So, hey, you're gone. I didn't even know you later. And I know they could have developed it, but Lonzo isn't that big of a person on the Lakers right now. The person that should be pissed is LeBron. And that's more of a, hey, NBA legend to legend thing. Like you said you were going to come in here and do something about it. And I'm LeBron. Like, yo, I create organizations. I create movements. Like
you courted me.
The fact that... Magic went to LeBron's house and they talked for hours about it, like how they're going to change the Lakers, what they're going to do on the court, how they're going to promote it off the court. I don't blame LeBron for feeling like short-sighted.
Short-changed.
Yeah, short-changed. And with the whole Lonzo thing, like you said, Magic wasn't there. You know, they joked about, hey, where's Magic? I thought he was supposed to be here. Ha 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 ha. Like, it's a joke, but not really. Like, that's so awkward.
No, John's right, though. Good to be.
This reminds me of that one time that Jamie Foxx went to Al Pacino's house, and he was like, you're not a receiver. You're not a cornerback. You're a goddamn quarterback.
Any Thank given you, Sunday, yo.
Yes, that's right. I forgot the movie. Okay.
Gotta get in there.
Garnick, V, you got anything?
Oh, man. All right, final thought. If you haven't watched Any Given Sunday, man.
Do it.
Man, I don't know what you're doing. Favor. You'll watch Lawrence Taylor song.
Willie Beam.
You'll watch Lawrence Taylor song. Car and App. You'll watch the original documentary.
Mike Ditka's in there.
You'll watch an original documentary about Michael Vick's life. from
Braggs. Before he was an NFL player.
Man, that's when I saw that movie and I saw Michael Vick play, those two things were just perfect. But... that's my final thought. Watch it and give it
That's
something.
V's version of the blind side.
Garnett closes out Goodman.
Another good Cameron Diaz movie. There's Something About Mary.
Oh, man.
Watched it recently.
Still solid.
Still got it.
Hilarious.
pretty freaking hilarious. Okay. Ahead of its time a little. That's
For
all.
For sure. I think I watched it not too long ago. Maybe a couple years ago. And I was like, man, this movie's funny as hell.
It's just a deuce and a half. Not bad.
Thank you for joining Contested Layups tonight, episode number 95. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, Facebook.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube by searching Contested Layups episodes or full episodes and more. And go ahead and check your Instagram live every now and then. We might be live here.
Let's go. Hey, remember, we're doing a park off, Raul and I, all right? In the coming days. Let's see who's the best parker of all time, all right? Let's go. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening.
Ciao. Hasta luego.